Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. I'm Susan Piper, and I'm very happy to sit with you. We're going to sit today for 10 minutes. I am in a new house, empty, kind of looks like this, although sweet little shrine back there. And this is the first video I'm making in this new house. So I'm excited about it. And I also think the room probably sounds echoey because there's really not much in it. Before we sit, I wanted to say a little bit about a question that was raised in the Open Heart Project Sangha, the group within the Open Heart Project of people that we practice together every day and online courses and programs and great, great, great teachers leading meditation practice in the mornings. You're welcome to join. Please think about it. It is the best way I know of to stabilize your practice and therefore stabilize your journey. So I don't think that's too big of a statement. I've got a whole different setup here, so I hope things sound okay. In any case, one of the questions that came up in one of our morning sits a week or so ago was, do Buddhists pray? And if they do, who do they pray to? So I also have a podcast, by the way, and I made an episode about this. I'll link to it here somewhere. And the question is of great interest to me and to many who were brought up, I presume, in Judeo-Christian traditions, who may or may not love the tradition of prayer. This particular person, this woman, loved the tradition of prayer and was brought up in the Catholic Church in a happy way. So there are all sorts of experiences. Hers was a happy one. And she wondered if she ever became a Buddhist, not that she was planning to, would she have to stop praying? One of the reasons this is so interesting, besides I'm sure others share the question, is as I'm trying to inhabit a new space, a new house, rather unexpectedly, I mean, we had sort of been looking, but suddenly we found something, suddenly they accepted our offer, and suddenly we put our other house on the market. I noticed that I'm walking around from room to room, sort of praying. I hope this house will be a happy house for us. I hope this room will give rise to great insight and creativity. This room happens to be my office. I hope this living room will be a gathering place of love and warmth and friendship. Of course, the things that most people would hope for when they move to a new place, there's a lot of longing that is invoked. So going back to the questioner, the answer to the question, do Buddhists pray? The answer is, on one hand, no, because there is no one to pray to. It is a non-theistic tradition. So there's no sense of an external being. Loving, fierce, whatever you may think of as this of this external being, which you are 100,000% entitled to, there's no sense in the Buddha Dharma of an external deity who is loving or wrathful or got any kind of plan for you. However, on the other hand, the answer to the question, do Buddhists pray, is yes. If you ever walk into a shrine room or a Buddhist temple, especially in the Vajrayana tradition, the Tibetan tradition that I was trained in, there are countless images of deities. Some are blue, some are green, some have multiple heads, some look really kind and sweet, some are look very fierce and maybe have bangs and stuff. Well, what is this? And you know, for that matter, what is this? Why are these pictures here and this statue of a deity called Vajrasattva? And then I just loved this picture, so I tore it out of a magazine. Yes, an old school magazine. And I just taped it there because it seemed like, I don't know what, something beautiful, colors that I like, a feeling that I liked. And I wanted it to be an offering to these folks. Is that a prayer?
Yeah.
In one sense. On the other hand, I know we got three hands going here now. The way I was instructed when looking at a shrine like this, very simple, humble shrine, you are looking at yourself, your beauty, your wisdom, your insight, your purity, your brilliance. There you are. So is that the same as prayer to an external deity? I don't think so. But is it prayer in a different sense? I do think so. And this sense is I'm trying to make a relationship with myself, with wisdom itself, with compassion itself, with fierceness itself. And these images help me remember that that's already who I am. So there's not as much a sense of asking for help, although trust me, I'm asking for help 24/7, as much as being with, relating to, opening to the presence of wisdom itself. If you try to do that right now, I think you can. Can you open to the presence of wisdom? You can if you look at a tree, if you look at a flower, if you look at the contents of your own heart. There's something alive, something animate, something brilliant going on. If you like, you could call that wisdom and you can open to it. So it's material and immaterial at the same time. Can you open to compassion? Yes, you can feel your own heartbreak. That's the same as opening to compassion. You can feel your love, you can feel your rage, you can feel all the feels. That is not separate from the essence of compassion because it is an awakened heart. So, can you find a way to feel the presence of those things? Yeah. And then, can you, this might be the prayer part, can you rest in that feeling of presence? Can you commune? Not to say, hey, how you doing? Or could you help me out with this? But more like, can you be together like you would be with a loved one? Say you have a dog or a cat. These are always good examples. There's almost nothing better than just hanging out. Can you hang out with wisdom, with compassion, as you would a baby or your dog or your cat? Just being together, something unfolds. And that something unfolding is one way, perhaps, because I'm making this up, to think about prayer in the Buddha Dharma. So I hope this is useful. And the best way to prepare the ground for such communing is to practice meditation. You might have seen that one coming, because we quiet our minds to the point where we could actually attune to something other than our discursiveness, our hopes, our fears, all of which are, relevant and important. But in this practice, we quiet and not just tune in, we tune out. That's a very important part of the practice. We're not trying to withdraw, we're trying to connect. Don't take my word for that or anything. Let's try it together. So please establish your posture. Which means, in some sense, love yourself. Relax with yourself. Sit up straight and connect with your dignity. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. The belly is soft. The shoulders are relaxed. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And the breath is natural in and out through the nose, no breathing technique. The eyes are open. and the gaze is soft and cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And one reason the eyes are open is this supports the capacity to connect rather than retreat. Feel your body breathing. And let your attention rest on the inhale and the exhale. And this resting attention, feeling the breath, is different than noticing the breath. It's more intimate. Feeling is more intimate than noticing. So just feel the body breathe. Let your mind be as it is. A lot of thoughts, few thoughts, doesn't matter. Just let thoughts fall to the background as best you can, and breath come into the foreground of your attention, your awareness, your feeling. Thoughts will come and go, whether you let them or not, they will, I promise. So as that is happening, the flow of thoughts and the attention on breath, just rest with yourself. And if you get lost in a train of thought, not a thought, but a train of thought to the point where you lost all track of your breath, no problem at all. Just notice that. You can label it silently, thinking, if that helps. Let go. Just let go. And come back to this breath and begin again. So we'll sit together. Thank you so much for your practice. It is great to practice with you. Thank you for practicing with me. It means a lot to me, especially in this new place. And thank you for practicing together. Till next time.